Hello, welcome to the Old Man Orange Podcast. I'm Spencer Scott Holmes.
And I'm Ryan Dunnigan. And before we get too far into this, I'd just like to give a quick shout out to our friend Marley Silverbrand at the Water Cooler Podcast. He just recently did about 2 weeks ago by this point, did a 24-hour live stream with Natalie from Stone and Social and Sammy from the Sammy Saga podcast. And they, all three of them together, did a raised over $1,000 for, I forget what the charity was. It was for a children's charity, but I forget which one it was. But just want to give them a shout out. And I want to say, I don't know where they have the whole 24-hour stream, but I think it's broken up into segments. You could probably find out, I think they may have some of the segments on Sammy Saga's pot on his Instagram on there. But yeah, just wanted to give them a shout out, and thanks for having me on. I was on there for like an hour, and then I came back on to kill some time for a few more hours later, so yeah.
Yeah, and they just did that all at once.
Yeah, just did 24 hours straight. They brought other people on, different podcast hosts and friends and whatnot, so... And, you know, like anything, there's a point where it gets weird because people have been on there for, like, fucking 24 hours.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you already know how, like, a three-hour-long podcast goes. It kind of starts to peter out probably at 2.5 hours, so probably really petered out by 8 hours.
But there's some point where you get that gust of second wind, you know what I mean? Like anything, you get past that filter, and you get kind of rolling again. And it was, when I came on for my hour, it was a good time, and then I pop back on later just to chime in, say hi, what's up, and all that, so make some stupid jokes. But it was a good time, and congratulations to them, and good work on them for raising over $1,000 for charity, so yeah.
Yeah, there we go. He's probably blowing it right now. He's like, I can back turn this $1,000 into like $10,000 at the casino. Watch me.
Yeah,
he's embezzling. Then I only have to turn in $1,000, and I'm going to keep $9.
Marley would be out there embezzling. Nah, he ain't that kind of guy. But
embezzling. That's more just trying. That's gambling to try to see if you can make that bigger. But there's also the chance you might not.
But yeah, no, they did a good job. So congratulations to Water Cooler Podcast, Sammy Saga Podcast, and Stone and Social.
Cool. Well, yeah, go check that out. It sounds like fun times to be had there. But we get to this point now where there's a brand new Pizza Boys out there, issue number 12. So we thought we would do the old fun read-along and commentary. And we're here in person to do it. So now it's going to almost feel like we're in, like, third grade. And I'll be like, okay, kids, we're reading Shakespeare today, and you all get to choose characters.
And there's always the kid who just picks. We'll probably do funny voices because fuck it, why not? But there always is the kid who's trying to, like... There'd be the kid who actually could do a funny voice, and there'd be the one kid trying to do a funny voice, and no one laughs when he does it.
Yeah, and then there's the poor kid who just can't read, and he's just being like, now, Billy, come on, read, teacher. Today, Junior!
It's the teacher saying that.
It's funny, I was really watching Billy Madison again recently. I'm like, that's like something, that's probably a line you couldn't even say nowadays. Like, that line would be so offensive to, like, you'd be like, that poor kid can't read.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. I was verbally abused in the ear. Jump years later, like, same dude from Uncut Gems.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that Halloween movie he did, it kind of almost felt like it was like a Billy Madison-like character because he was going to be a Goofy and Adam Sandler again.
He comes in waves. Like, he'll do, like...
Hey, Mr. Penguin!
He'll do the shit where it's like, okay, you know what? I need... here's a little art movie. They're not going to come too frequently. They're going to come once in a while. People are going to love them when they happen, but I'm not going to make as much money, and I'm not going to get an Oscar nomination. But guess what does make me a lot of money, and guess what's a lot of fun? Woo! You know? That's like I can't hate him.
It's like the one that he could, every 5 years he could pull out that card and just be like, okay, we'll bring back the Goofy character again. And like, it mostly always works, because everybody...
Producing one of those movies, at least.
Yeah. Yeah. At the end of the day, you're like, can you just be partially retarded, Adam Sandler, and everybody will love you.
Can you?
Yeah. Can you? But yeah, we're giving the Pizza Boys here. And none of that Adam Sandler stuff, not saying there's anything wrong with that, but you know what I mean, it's something different. But this kind of is the story of going into a movie theater of the most rowdiest people known to mankind. I really just summed up a lot of like real life stuff that kind of happened and just put it all into one. Like, you know, granted, these are split up over years, but, you know.
I do want to say, usually, Pizza Boy's issues, they kind of focus on, like, one thing in majority, but then they might say, oh, here's a little side, for the A, for the B and C story, here's a fun little thing I thought of. Where this one, I feel like this is you venting. This is you saying, here's everything I hate in life.
Yeah, it's one of those ones, like, the last couple Pizza Boys almost had, like, they almost felt like sort of like PSAs. Not, like, in a bad way, like, I'm trying to get some stupid message across or something like that. Being, like, not like one of those ones where it's like, hey, man, remember when Green Day wasn't political? Like, you know? It's not like it's anything like that, but I just noticed, I'm like, oh, there is kind of, like, there's, like, a moral, like, almost at the end, like, if this was, like, an 80s cartoon.
By accident, you know, as if... As if, like, Duke and, like, Roadblock are, like, annoying is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
Hey, kids, don't get in that fucking van. What are you, stupid?
Yeah, I mean, unless you like to have a good... Unless you like to party.
I think that would be a funny PSA. Like, Scarlet comes in with, like, a six-pack. Like, hey, look. Don't get the... Don't stop on the weak shit. Stop the... Not these fucking Coors Lights, all right? We brought some Mickeys.
Let's go to a punk rock show and, you know, fuck someone up.
Yeah, it's still... Yeah, I know it's Reagan's America right now, but we gotta let loose too once in a while.
Yeah, you know. One of those things.
G.I. Joe's going to fucking Bad Brains. Alright, yeah, let's jump over.
But, okay, we can start in. We got, you know, our four main Pizza Boys here. Who do you want to play other than yourself?
I'll cover Kyle. You want to cover Kyle, or who do you want to do?
I'll do whoever you don't do.
I feel like Kyle's personality in these books is very similar to yours, so I'll just do Kyle.
Okay, I'll do Sisko then. So, we start off, I'll get the narration going too. The movie theater brawl, we're coming into a movie, we're going to go see European Vacation, and Sisko chimes in. He's like, I'm still surprised that they are even playing European Vacation, of all choices in the series.
Kyle says, works for me!
Yeah, doesn't give a fuck, just going in. So we're walking to the cinema here, they're playing the classics and so on. As we get inside, we see that Melanie is working behind the counter here.
And I say, hey, my character says, hey, Melanie, I didn't know you worked here. And she's like, a theater's a theater, I suppose.
And then I'm going like, yeah, but think of all the free flicks you can watch. Some might call that living the dream.
You think, but like all jobs, there's always... crap like that, and she's pointing at, like, some drunken asshole staggering down the hallway, pulling up his pants, and someone says, that can't be common here, right?
Yeah.
Who's that supposed to be?
That's supposed to be Sisko. I mean, technically, that's one of those
anybody
ones...
Anybody could be anybody.
You know, yeah, it's like one of those lines, it could be anybody, but that's like, you know when you run out of space, and you're like, shit, I'm just gonna make the line come off screen, you'll figure that out.
Now, what's this poster supposed to be in the background? I got, like...
That's a THX poster, actually.
Oh, it's a THX poster?
I was listening to this 70s filmmaking podcast, and, like, as they're talking about it, they're like, THX, I'm like, shit, I'll write THX. And if you look on the outside... I put down the Bonnie and Clyde poster, and then I also put... For some reason, I put down the Nick Fury one. I can't remember why that came up, but these... They were just going on the back, and I was like, yeah, fucking A. That, they're playing the Nick Fury movie there. Why not? The Hasselhoff one.
Nick Fury was a made-for-TV movie, or did that go to theaters?
Yeah, I had some screenings.
Some screenings.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know,
okay,
and I feel like it's a classic movie theater, or they're playing classic movies, so why can't they play a made-for-TV movie in there? It's not like it's a brand-new movie.
Okay, all right, makes sense.
But as they kind of go on, Melanie says,
depends on the movie.
And Sisko's all, interesting. I really didn't think European Vacation would even be busy.
It's practically sold out.
I come in. Get the fuck out. You're serious?
Serious as Batman.
Now, she's a keeper.
That looks like you going, and knowing is half the battle.
Yeah, there's our G.I. Joe PSA right there.
Now I get this boy, this guy coming in, this super sloppy-ass, drunk asshole cutting in front of Sisko. Can I get two more big boy size beers?
Barge.
And he looks, he's even like, he has like, his polo shirt is ripped.
Yeah, just like that. It's just like, it's all like
smudges mesh on his fucking shirt. They're like, whoever does these local ads is hilarious. And I say, are you here to see European Vacation? Kind of like, fuck.
It's not this guy. It's that thing, you know when you go to the movie theater and there's that guy, you're like, oh, I really hope he... There's 10 cinemas. I hope he's in not the one I'm seeing. And then you're like, shit he is.
He says, "Fucking hell, I love me some National Lampoons."
And then as he grabs his beers and he's going on, it's just, he's spilling them walking down the hallway.
"Oops, clean up on aisle three." Well, this page is all me right here.
Literally is.
"Remember the crap I was talking about putting up with?" Then me, I come in like, "Oh, here, I can help. Like, don't worry about it. Just enjoy your movie." And I like how you do make her look kind of like anomalous, like kind of like ominous here and kind of creepy. Like, yeah, like it's all black behind her.
Yeah, just like kind of like, what are we getting set up for?
And she has a creepy, like a look in her eye, sort of.
And then Kyle goes for the, you know, the classic. He's going for that hug that he could never seem to get for some reason.
And sadly walks away. The thing is about her is she is kind of like the bubbly, kind of like bubbly, kind of somewhat pretentious, but at the same time, she never looks like she's trying to like fuck with anybody. Where this right here, like, oh shit, she knows something they don't. So I think that's already, if you know the characters, if that character's saying like, all right, some shit's gonna go down.
Yeah. So as we're kind of walking down the hallway towards the movie screening, my character Vince says, "Was it me, or did Melanie sound a bit ominous with those last words?" Cisco's kind of scratching his chin, going, "Huh, maybe."
Me coming in, my character coming in with exposition. "So, Kyle, did you get your living arrangement all squared away with the girls?" "Back in action! They wrangled me a home. I even got my own outdoor front, outdoor fort now, too."
And then it just kind of, editor's note, read a Pizza Boys 11.
So is that implying that is he living in, like, head continuity? Is Cisco, is Kyle's character living in a little love shack that was on the corner out there on, like, that property?
Not necessarily. I wasn't thinking like that as much. I was almost just thinking it's like, it's almost like he can live there, but he lives out in, like, a tent in, like, the backyard. like one of those. And also, yes, the real Kyle at one point, I remember this was back in, give or take, maybe, I'm going to say, like, fifth grade, give or take, around then. I remember one time he set up this outdoor tent during the summertime because it's hot as fuck. So he's like, "I'll put it out there." And he literally had this big tent set up. He put carpet down. He put his bed out there. He put the TV, the Sony PlayStation. He had his boombox and everything out there. You know, power lines or, like, extension cord ran out to it. So it was, like, a full-on, like, setup. So that's how I sort of picture it.
So that's the bed. Okay. And then we come to the audience being loud and rowdy, and looks like nobody is being, like, caring about, like, those around them. Now, I'm guessing for you, this is probably the stuff you like to draw the most, because it's basically just two panels. A small panel of the main cast above, and then a massive panel of them staring at, like, all this anarchy and chaos. I'm guessing this is fun for you, because you just gotta, like, get out everything you hate about going to the movies.
Well, and I always, it's like one of my kind of favorite types of drawings you see in a comic book is I always kind of call them like the Where's Waldo kind of pictures. You know, like the one that you can kind of sit and look at for a while and go, oh shit, look at that. You know, because on here it's like, we got all kinds of things going on. There's like a guy waving at the projector going, oh hey! Like trying to make a like connection there. There's a beach ball bouncing around. People are throwing food, throwing
kids
popcorn.
Kids playing grab ass.
Yeah, guys playing grab ass. Guys with dirty boots hanging their feet over and somebody on a cell phone yelling at full volume. You know, there's some regular people there too. Like, I want to say that there's some just normal conversations. But the thing is there's this chaos sort of circling around it. Drinks are spilt, popcorn's everywhere, and so on like that. And nobody just seems to give a flying fuck.
Is the Janine Garofalo looking lady supposed to be the more chill person, or is she meant to be somewhat like? It looks like she's stirring tea. There's a lady with long black hair, like kind of more far right, not the farthest right, but far right kind of center. Long black hair. Looks like she listens to NPR.
Like she just, well, that is what I just drew that as my just casual character.
That's your casual
too.
Lady.
Just okay. To have, so it's not just pure chaos, but there's some normal people, but it's like almost like they're not going to help.
They're outweighed.
Cause.
They're outweighed.
Yeah, they're outweighed. You know what I mean? You got the old people. You got everything in there. There's even a guy who's kind of pissed off that like shit's getting thrown around. He's kind of over there on the far right, but yeah. So there's just chaos going down, and we get to our next part. We find our seats. Of course, we're like at the front fucking row now. Like, no, you know, we get there early, but it's like not expecting just like everybody and their fucking mom to show up this time. And Cisco's looking around the audience. He's like, oh shit, look, there's Esteban and Buddy.
And here's me coming in like, don't worry, fellas. I'm sure it'll all calm down once the movie starts.
And then Cisco's kind of like waving out there. He's like, they probably can't even hear us over the noise, which I want to try to fit Esteban and Buddy in there. And, you know, sometimes it's one of those ones you want to fit like other characters in there, but you kind of realize that like, and almost like an episode's length of a comic. There's only so much time. That's what I kind of always learned.
I say, look, who else is here?
And then I go, is that Afro fuck? And Sisko's like, I really hate that man. Almost like a John Hammond kind of...
Kyle's like, the people watching is insane. Look at those drunk bozos. That's coming from me. And we see like two sloppy, sloshy guys. They just look like they just got back. They're fully clothed, but they still look like they got back from raging waters.
I don't know what it is. Like, I really like these characters right here. Like, I almost feel like I would like to see these guys show up again because they feel like they're just kind of chaos. Like, I picture it like there's the one guy who's kind of got like the tie that's all loose and everything like that. And the way I sort of feel is like, is this guy kind of probably got off of his 9-to-5 job, and then his buddy, who probably has some kind of entrepreneur somewhat, you know, he doesn't really have a real job, let's be honest. He's got the Hawaiian shirt on kind of thing going. He's like, dude, let's go out and get fucked up tonight.
Like, for the guy on the left, like, this barely ever happens for him.
So he gets super fucked up when it does happen, you know what I mean? Trump. The other guy, like, he's drinking, like, as he's, you know, working, quotes. And so what he does is he's like, here, hold my beer, which, you know, something's going down. He takes the extra large popcorn and just drop kicks it as hard as fucking possible, and it flies up and crashes right into the movie screen, exploding everywhere.
He
and
even
so
went out of the way to make it the MPAA logo.
Yeah, well, that's how he pictured, like, he sees, like, the fucking, like, Green Band trailer come on, so I was like, fuck this, boom!
Treats it like a target.
Yeah. And then he's just the drunk guy's just like, woo, the extra point!
Let's get that free refill, is the other guy.
Yeah, like, is this one of those ones like, who the fuck, like, they got no care. It's like, they ain't picking that shit up. And then we keep going, and Sisko's like, Jesus, pure chaos in here.
Now, I got a question, because then my character looks over at the usher, and the usher looks like, scared, like he just walked, like he knows he's gonna die tonight, and he's like, there's a good possibility he's gonna die, and he's trying to stay alive. Was it your, and he looks just petrified, was it your intention to make him look like Morty?
No, I actually did, that didn't even cross my mind, to tell you the truth. You just, know, I just wanted to picture him as just like that 14-year-old boy. This is like his first job ever, you know, I don't know, maybe he'd be 15 nowadays to get a job, but like back in the day, you know what I mean, like, so it's just one of those ones, he's got the fucking little, like, you know, suit on, or like
little
the little
usher
vest. Yeah, the usher, like, oh, he's more probably more dressed up for a movie theater than you would think, but like at the same time.
But in the movie, you know, and in this, you get the context, like, you know who that guy is in this context. Even
yeah,
you know,
in and then it's sort of like you're looking over at him like, dude, you gonna fucking do something? You don't say it, but like kind of you make this, like, the sign. And that kid just like, forget it. Fuck no.
He just looks at my I'm like, come on. I'm like, and I say, Usher Boy is no help.
And it's like the feast of presentation, the movie's starting up, and I'm like, thank Thor, the movie's starting. Now it should all calm down.
And then it says 25 minutes in, it's rowdy as ever. There's like some dumb bitch behind him. So guess what movie I'm watching right now?
And then I just love, because these are the people you do see a lot. There's the guy who likes to repeat the lines before they happen. So I got him going, hey, look, kids, there's Big Ben! And then it's like, you know, Chevy Chase would come in, hey, look, kids, there's Big Ben! And there's Boilerman! You know? And then Sisko's kind of, he's just whispering over at Kyle's like, do you believe this?
And there's some crusty old fucks here, like, hey, that reminds me, what did I need to go get at Wally World when this is over? What I need again?
You said you needed the garden hose! That's you next.
Oh, that's me? Okay.
Yeah, exactly. There's only so much room.
Yeah.
That's right. Boy, do I love gardening.
Make sure we get the cat litter, too. But not the heavy bag.
You and that goddamn cat!
And then Vince leans over to Dunny, just whispering. It's like, are these old fucks fucking serious? Like, what do they think? It's Thanksgiving over at Aunt Betty's house, and this movie is just on TBS in the background?
And I say, one more minute, and I'm saying something. And this is actually true to an extent. You kind of, like, compiled a handful of actual life events. No, life events, like, they're big things. But I mean, like...
It was, dude. It was X-Men 3.
I mean, around this up, nothing big. But basically, we had to go see X-Men 3. And to give some context... That day, I was coming back from grad night, so I was super fucking tired, because I didn't sleep at all. And once I got back, first thing, you're like, X-Men 3! I'm like, okay, X-Men 3. And then we get there, and I'm already just no sleep whatsoever. So we're sitting there, And, like, for the first, you know, there's some little kids in the very front row, and they're just, like, doing this stupid thing, like, shh, 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 back and forth to each other. And they do it for, like, a few minutes, but then during, like, the end of the trailers. But then they're doing it, like, 3 minutes into the movie, and I literally just yell, "Shut the fuck up!"
Like, and they were quiet from that point on. Like, that was, like, one of those ones where it's like, that worked fucking perfect.
And the audience, I mean, not saying, like, look at me, I'm tough. Yeah, I yelled at some kids, but...
But you could tell there was, like, that relief cheer from the audience. Like, fuck yeah, that guy stood up.
And then, like, got the audience to laugh, so...
No. Yeah, so it's like, at that moment, it's like, dude, it worked out. It's like, yeah. So I'm like, there. So I got it here where, you know, it's 57 seconds in after you said it, a minute I'm saying something.
I say, shut the hell up. This is a moment of silence, and like a thing of popcorn hits the back of my head.
Or yeah, or a soda comes flying.
A soda, oh, even worse, yeah.
Comes throwing, so it explodes all over you and so on. And it's like almost one of those ones, like, you don't know where it really came from. It came from deep up in the audience somewhere.
Yeah, and the old crusty fucks just... Hey, Sonny, that picture's that way! So I'm looking over the chair, trying to see who threw it.
Yeah, and then the old lady's like, yeah, these kids' days are so angry. And then I kind of whisper over to you, I'm like, dude, that always did it before. And you go...
I was hoping for a thank Christ or relief cheer from the audience before stepping, saying something, saying nothing. I can't talk today. I'm like that kid, like, today, Junior!
Today, Donegan!
From the audience for stepping up and saying something, but nothing.
Works well on children and scared teenagers, but I think we're really in the minority here. And then Cisco's kind of leaning over to him. He's like, dude, is Dunning gonna fucking take this? And I'm like, he's carefully planning out his next action.
Then some lady says, you really need to calm down. It's just a movie. Like, pointing, give me the Karen point finger.
Yeah.
And then zoom in on my face and me pointing. And then
like
I say,
it's just lady, a fucking movie.
Lady, fuck off!
Hey, mister, that's my wife, and I expect an apology. Is
some
this...
fucking, like, with a shirt tied around his neck, a polo sweater tied around his neck, and she's like, oh!
Like, I'm so offended. This, you know, heathenous boy yelled at me. I don't know if I could go. I'm going to have to talk to my psychiatrist from now on. And then I'm kind of on the defense, and I'm like, he owes you nothing. We are just trying to tame this unruly crowd, and you are not helping.
You got the Phoenix Wright thing going right there.
Yeah, like, I was, like, pointing in, like...
With the lightning, with the, like, objection, like, pointing thing going on.
And I just
looks
like
you boys need to learn how to just relax. And then, like, another giant tub of popcorn comes over us.
It just explodes on us. And I love how it goes back to the drunk kind of, like, dudes again. They're like, dude, we only get one free refill. He's like, sorry, man, I was caught up in the moment.
The one guy, the yuppie fuck with the sweater tied around his face, goes and punches my character in the face.
And he's like, now give my wife an apology, you little son of a bitch!
And then you just have, like, one of your montage. I get up, I punch that guy in the face. The way the Karen has covered her ears, like, oh, so much yelling! Like, every panel is just, like, anarchy.
Yeah, so I'm like, she's coming right for us. I throw a punch across her face. Then there's kind of just the audience in there, and I finally get to add Esteban and Buddy up there at the top because I didn't know where else I was going to get it. But they're fighting. They're just having, like, a good old time punching people. You know, there's almost, like this almost, like, a wife and her husband. It's almost like they have no reason to be fighting, but it's almost like maybe it was all boiling up to this moment. And now they're finally taking it out. Kyle's chucking a guy over his shoulder. The poor Usher boys in the dead center is like popcorn and sodas and everything, and nachos is being thrown at him.
He has a single tear rolling down his eyes, and he has sweat too. Like,
just sweating bullets and so on. I like how there's also like a guy he just got up and he's just so drunk or whatever. He just starts humping the screen when there's that German girl that Rusty's like kind of almost gonna like go with. Other guys are running by smacking drinks and sodas out of the canisters. It's almost like it just releases this, like, oh shit, I can do anything I want.
A redneck is chasing Cisco. I'm gonna kick you in the fucking head.
And that one, I felt like we told this story in the podcast before, but just for, like, the context there, is I just remember one time me and Cisco were down at this town called Isla Vista that's, like, above Santa Barbara area and so on like that. And generally, it's like a college town, so there's nobody over the age of 25 there. And beyond that, there's just bicycles galore. Like, bicycles are almost like deer in, like, the mountains. Like, you just see, like, a bicycle that just
going,
like,
across the street.
Yeah, and then it gets hit by a car, and it's all, like, mangled, twitching on the ground.
Like, just limping away. Like, three smaller bicycles go behind it.
Yeah, there's nobody on them. Shit, I remember being on the beach, and bicycles would wash up on shore. I'm like, that's fucking weird. Why is there so many bicycles? It's almost like...
Is it in fucking Holland or some shit?
It's almost like one of those ones is like, do you even own a bicycle? Or do you just jump on a bicycle, ride it, and be like, I'm done. Jump off of it and so
be
on.
Be free.
Well, whatever. We just said, we're like, hey, we're hungry. We're going to go to this pizza parlor. We're going to get something to eat and so on. And we're, you know, we order our pizza and we're standing in line to get our drinks and so on. And there was just, like, the only old guy in this entire town. There was, like, this, like, 60-year-old kind of hillbilly-looking guy with, like, a ball cap on and kind of, like, old, like, you know, raspy hair and so on like that, wearing probably, like, a work shirt and so on. Like, he did not look like anybody else that was in this entire town and stuff. And he looks at me, and this when I had, like, the blonde hair and so on like that. He's like, you look like that Johnny Winters fella. And we're like, oh, that's kind of cool. Yeah, I guess that's a compliment. I never got that one before. And so on like that. We turn around, kind of whatever, move across the line and so on like that. And then all of a sudden he looks at Cisco later on. He's like, I'm going to kick you in the fucking head. And then I remember just like, okay. Like almost had like a Garth moment. You're like, maybe we don't need drinks yet. Let's go back to our table. So I felt like, I'm adding that guy in there. You know
I'm
what
surprised
I mean?
It took like 12 issues to get to that guy.
It was funny how you kind of have those things. It's like, now I finally found a place I can put it in there. I mean, it doesn't have the long context, I think, makes it kind of funny, but it still works.
Just some guy chase, just the concept of some redneck chasing Cisco.
Just for no reason.
In the fucking head. But then, like, you have the old, the crusty old fuck couple, and like, he throws his popcorn on the ground. Like, that's what I think about this movie experience.
You know, Sean Vernon. And that just... That contest right there, that reminds me of, remember when we went to go see, not American Sniper, but, the Marky
Lone
Marker.
Survivor.
Lone Survivor. Because I just remember, like, when we saw that movie.
Sea of Grey.
Yeah, it was the Sea of Grey. It was just, we were, like, the youngest people in there by far. Like, we were, like, probably at that time, we were, like, 23 or 4, and everybody in there was, like, 60 and up. I mean, like, there wasn't even middle-aged in there. It was just, like, we were just way out of our league, I guess. But I remember, like... The movie was over and everyone's like, that's an American hero, yeah. And then we kind of stand up and look around like, it's almost like they cheered and then just threw all their shit on the ground. Like popcorn, like, fuck that Usher boy.
Like, you think Smurfs 2 just got dumb by the way this movie
is. Yeah, I mean, like, I've seen kids that are so much more orderly at like a children's film than these guys were. It's just almost like, Dark Guard's American hero, but fuck that kid who's paying taxes for that guy to go over there. He better clean my ass on the way out too. Like, and it's just like, dude, like, you can't, the trash can's right out there on the end, like, what are you doing, you maniacs?
Yeah, that's, yeah, I remember, we want to see friends who worked in the movie theaters, so yeah, kids' movies are the worst, but old people in movie theaters are always really bad, too.
So. Yeah, they're like the other children.
Well, they're gonna earn their pay, so,
yeah, fuck them. Oh, no, you're Ottoman.
I do it again. It was for the effects.
But yeah, we get to the outside. It's almost like, it's like a kind of a hard cut, and we're all sitting out in the curb. I like how even, like, you have a
bruised
blanket on. Like, almost kind of like, it's like a police scene. Like, and I also picture it's like, well, it's kind of wintertime-ish. You know, you got soda splashed on you. I guess it makes sense for that, the blanket and so on.
Well, I just like the cop here. It's like, move along now. Just boys being boys. Nothing to see. Yep.
Yeah, it's just like this, like, security guard just really owning up on his job. And I drew him kind of, like, way smaller than everybody else, too. So it's almost like he's a guy who's probably, like, 5'2", and who knows who he could really handle.
Got a first, like, little taste of, like, power right there.
Yeah. And then as people are kind of walking out, there's kind of almost, like, I would say, like, your sort of normal couple there who didn't know what they were getting into showing up here. And then, of course, there's the drunk guys behind, like, the kind of, like, the frat boy, or, like, whatever you want to call those guys, but... The fun drunks, you know. They're total assholes, but they're kind of fun. I kind of still enjoyed them.
You probably put them another book down the line, I bet.
Yeah.
Now, we're all still chilling on the sidewalk. Like, fuck, that just happened. Audrey's sitting above us with her arm crossed.
Or Melanie,
yeah. Is she supposed to be, like, is she wearing, like, a Sonic the Hedgehog hoodie?
Well, that's what I kind of picture. Like, I drew her in a normal hoodie at first, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give her kind of one of those fun, like, sort of anime ones with the ears. They only work on certain girls. That's, like, one of those ones. It can either be, like, it can look good on, like, a cute girl, but if you put it on, like, the wrong kind of, like, one...
It backfires.
Yeah, it really backfires.
It's got Chris Chan real quickly.
It just almost looks like an animal put, like, a fucking jacket on or something.
I just saw also, like, there's the one singular spike, so I thought maybe that's supposed to be, like... A hedgehog. Maybe I'm wrong, though.
I mean, like, I was thinking, like sometimes a sweatshirt's always going to have that anyways, but then I made it kind of pointy, so it does kind of have that Sonic the Hedgehog feel. But I'm like, you know what? I feel like give her something just a little bit different kind of sweatshirt to wear. So she's out there kind of like, sort of like, I guess being almost the, other than the security guard, sort of being the in-between between our characters and the rest of the movie audience.
Like, I know them, I'll tame them. And she's like, sorry that got out of control in there.
And Sisko's kind of looks up to her and like, really, who would have guessed?
I'm just tired of always having people to shut up and no respect.
And then I chime in afterward and be like, and it's always worse with the classics. Folks act like since they've seen it before, they can just chat away. And I mean, that's always been my biggest problem, I think, with, you go to see like a classic film, and a lot of times it's like 10 times worse than like anything else you've seen. But I guess, you know, you go to see Avengers and that thing could be filled to the brim, but since nobody's really seen it yet, people start to shut the fuck up, you know what I mean? They might, you know, do a cheer, but it's not like someone's going to be like, oh, let me just start having a regular conversation in the background, you know what I mean? But, like, I don't know what is it. Like, I almost kind of had to stop going to see classic movies because I had to keep telling somebody to be quiet in just about every single one of them or telling them to turn their fucking cell phone off and so on. And it just started to get to the point where it's like, dude.
Didn't happen with Sabrina, but we were the only ones in there for that one.
There was those kids that came in after this, because it wasn't even like the Harrison Ford Sabrina, it was the Audrey Hepburn and like, you know, Humphrey Bogart one, and I remember like, it was just black and white credits at the end, like, da la 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 la, and these kids walk in, and I can't remember, there was some kind of big movie like at that time period, and they saw us kind of walking out, like, they almost looked at us like, did you guys just like come from like the past? Like, just like, what the fuck's going on in this?
Ew, thing? Black and white.
Yeah, like one of those ones. But yeah, it's fine like that, but like, I don't know, it's just like, I've seen so many movies where it's like, it's just so much, dude, like, it was like 2001, Space Odyssey was another one, like, this guy kept giving a fucking running audio commentary to his wife, and I literally was like, yo, you gotta be quiet, and then I tell him it again, it's like, these are full-grown adults, like, it's not like it's a kid, where you like, you know, I guess in the old days, you just, you know, don't you just kind of
wish for the job?
It was the 50s, you would just take someone else's kid, pull him outside, slap him around, and be like, now you don't fucking do that again now, you see?
Kid go home like, father, someone beat me today. Well,
you probably deserved it.
I deserved it. What stupid shit you came out of your face that day? Well, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, you know what I mean. That's why you see that like in older movies too, where just like some old guy just like slaps the shit out of a kid out of line, just be like, yeah, that was just like policing.
Now go practice hiding underneath your desk before the commies blow us up.
Yeah.
Like, but then like
as we continue the story,
Kyle's like, but did you guys check me chuck that dude? Like, he's just happy he got to throw something.
Yeah. Like, yeah, that was pretty sweet. And then, I like how we, like, Afrofuck, I've kind of just, like, slowly revealed him. At first we mention him by name. Then it's kind of like, we don't really see his face yet. We just sort of see the behind here. And Afrofuck kind of walks out. And I don't know whoever wants to read him, but
I'll go, like, I'll read Afrofuck. But after this, I'll give the brief synopsis of him. Can you believe what just happened in there? It's just a silly movie. And I felt like, there's that Afro fuck douche again.
And then Sisko's all like, thinks he's something special.
Oh, I remember that guy from theater. He would pretend, that is Melanie, he would pretend to be gay just so he could creep on the woman's dressing room.
And then Sisko goes, that sounds about right.
Now, the thing with Afro fuck is, Sisko, if you've been listening to the show for a while, Sisko's been in, he used to be an actor and he would do a lot of theater. He was someone in, I think it was Fiddler on the Roof and like local theater over here. And, you know, he was getting done with the show and he just texted us and like, oh yeah, just meet me in the locker room. No big deal. We just went in the locker room and Sisko's in there like, oh, hey man, how you doing? You coming out? And here comes some guy, some like douchey, like, I'm going to say like, this is going to feel like more context than needed, but there's that episode of South Park where they're making fun of wrestling and they're treating like big theater, big like Broadway stage shit. And they kind of have every type of person who always brings like their resume, like the Photoshop, you know what I mean? And there's like the guys there, there's the pretty boy actor, but then there's the guys that aren't that pretty. But they love acting so much. They may be a little chunky, and they always got, like, a stupid fro and kind of a stash coming in.
Yeah, like, their hair is just kind of, like, doesn't really know what to do.
That's exactly, that guy, that character, that archetype was in the background when they were making fun of that episode. Making fun of, like, that in South Park. Because they're just making fun of those kind of people who come in with those headshots like that. It's like, it's hard to make this guy good looking. Anyway, I wonder if he applied to, or if he applied or tried out for South Park at some point, because looked fucking identical to him. Anyway, that fuck comes out and says, "Hey guys, you part of the performance?" No, we're just here talking to our friend. He's like, "Well, this is for actors, so why don't you get out?" He says, like a fucking sociopath, straight face, rictus, Joker smile. Like, "I guess gotta wait outside. This is for the actors."
Yeah, but like, there was a lot of attitude put into it.
Yeah, so why don't you just wait outside? This is for the actors right here. Just like, did not change his, like there's couple like levels of sociopath in there. Like, cannot change his facial expression, but you could hear it in his voice. And there is this weird thing where we almost kind of, okay, we just walked to the car, but then it wasn't until we got to the car, like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah, like one of those moments where, like, you didn't take it all in at first, and then you get the car, you're like, did that guy fucking just give us attitude like that and so on like that?
And we just, oh, and he's just this dopey looking fuck. And we just always, and he had a stupid looking afro, so we just called him Afro Fuck.
Yeah.
And just to add, this isn't anything important, but there is like one time where, like, you know, there's some of these actors we would actually get to know kind of, because they'd come over and hang out at Cisco's place after a show. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, this guy's cool. This guy over here kind of sucks, but this guy's cool. And then one point, somebody was, we were going to some bar, and like some lady was coming by. Like, "Oh, Philip's coming by." And I just turned to Cisco, no filter. I'm like, "Is that Afro Fuck?" She's like, "Yeah, that's Afro Fuck." "Oh, I'm getting the fuck out of here," and I just leave.
Yeah, well, because it seemed like everybody else was like, "Yeah, that guy's a fucking dick."
Yeah, even the yeah.
Yeah, like nobody seemed to like him and so on. And so it's like, that was a character that like always kind of had in the back of my mind at some point for something, and I felt like here kind of used, you know, we'll get into more context when we get farther on, but like, there's just that type of kind of character out there, just that douchey guy who's kind of so full of himself. He's really kind of almost creepy. Like, I picture him because he's kind of walking out with like a girl here. Like, he'd be one of those kind of people that would actually be able to con a girl into going out on a date or whatever you might want to call it. In her eyes, it might just be, "Oh, you know, this guy just wants to go to the movies. Cool, whatever, I want to see it too." But he might be creeping in on it. That's how I picture him. I picture him kind of like the creepy guy, but we'll explain it more once we get farther.
The girl he's with right here, who's like, she looks like she's even kind of a little creeped out by him. And he's walking out in capris, he's wearing sandals, it's fucking winter, there's snow.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's wearing kind of like, looks kind of like a smoking jacket, kind of.
Yeah, he's kind of got, because I just picture him kind of in a hipstery kind of fashion, so.
Like certain types of hipsters can definitely fit this mold. Yeah. Hipster's a broad category.
Yeah, nowadays it can mean so many things.
But this is like kind of like early proto sort of, like, yeah, we'll get there.
But once we get farther in, because we're kind of building up to it, but we cut to the next page, and my character, Vince, stands up. I'm like, "I think we need a pie-in-the-sky pizza to fix up this shitty night."
Kyle says, "Amen, brother!"
Then you jump in, ask him.
"Melanie, you want to join?"
"I'd love to, but, you know, this..."
And just points to this fucked-up, destroyed theater. I'm like,
oh, yeah. There's just a guy who comes out, like, he's still, like, got his pent-up rage, and he's taking out this poor trash can.
My guy, my character's like, "Oh, yeah, maybe." He's like, "But maybe we can meet up later. Like, Stacy's supposed to pick me up when I'm done."
And Cisco turns and looks and kind of goes, "You and Stacy cool now?"
"She's nicer. She just loves to have fun. Her type of humor," she said.
And then I kind of put my arm on Melanie and almost give her like the, "You keep one eye open on Stacy. Always. She's just planning her next attack. Looking for an easy opening."
"I'll keep that in mind." And then, like, Kyle's like, "To the Dunnymobile!" Running to my car.
Cisco waving his hand. "Bye, Melanie."
To my old Subaru. Yeah.
To the old classics.
And, like, if you ever do make a, if we ever reach the point where Pizza Boy is going to make a little brawler or RPG, how likely is it Stacy's going to be a boss?
Yeah, well, there'd be certain characters that definitely would be.
Anyway, we get to the pie in the sky. Really good drawing of it right there, by the way. You know.
I've got all my, like, reference pictures of, like, the old pie-in-the-sky look. But we get there, and it's almost like anybody could say this
line.
"Sweet,
we got the whole place to ourselves."
And then we bust open the door, and my character, everybody's kind of got a scared and shocked look on their face, like, "What the hell's going on in here?" And my character goes, "Smells like old Subway in here."
Then Kyle says, "Yeah, like taint sweat or something."
And then Cisco's kind of like, almost like waving his nose and everything like this. Like, "This odor reminds me of why I can't go into a comic book store on game night."
then my character says, "That explains it." And here we get the introduction to the Derpy Boys.
So there's just a bunch of, like, in a sense, like, other nerds sitting there playing with a bunch of, like, drinks and messy. And they're playing a card game of some kind. And there's snacks and, you know, they're just kind of, they got their goofy laugh going and so on.
And I like how, like, each one has a different laugh. Like, Afro Fuck, who we see his face now, and we see that, like, you gave him the anime thing. You gave him the creepy anime swirly eye thing. And he's like, nee hee ha ha. And then the guy who we're going to introduce as Monster Battles is, ha. And then you got, like, Rooster, squawk! And then the Harry Potter guy is, har he.
So it's like we see that we get our almost like rival team and so on. And Kyle just freaks out when he sees this.
The Derpy Boys! What are you nerds doing here?
And then it kind of pops into like...
I like how when you show each of their profiles, you make it look like Magic the Gathering cards.
Well, that's sort of like a mix between kind of Magic the Gathering, the Star Trek cards, some of the other ones. It's not putting down the card, but I just feel like... There is those kind of weird nerds out there that just kind of almost make certain things uncool. That's how I feel about the Derpy Boys. At the end of the day, they're the kind of people that, like, when someone sees these guys playing fucking Magic the Gathering, be like, yeah, I'm not ever fucking touching that. You know, because it'd be different. If they saw a bunch of regular guys who weren't smelly and weren't creepy playing Magic the Gathering, I think people would be like, yeah, sure, I'll fucking sit down and play. But when you see these other people sometimes, that you kind of... It's almost like that one when you... I hate to sort of say it, but sometimes certain game nights at comic book stores.
Oh, yeah,
you
definitely.
Go in there, and it's like, I personally prefer a comic book store that doesn't have game night, because it always just smells funky, like old Subway, just kind of
taint
sweaty.
Sweat. Summed it up.
Yeah, just like one of those ones, and it's like, you know, it's nothing against the games, it's just, I don't know what it is. It attracts those guys who just, like, don't give a fuck, in a sense, but not like in a punk rock way. So we kind of show each of the cards here. And the first one starts off, it's the Harry Potter kid. This guy, you know, technically appeared in the first Pizza Boys issue. He's also in, I think, one of the other ones, too. I can't remember exactly, though. But, like, he's kind of the original one there who had... He's like the jerk-off that worked at Pie in the Sky that, you
know... In real life, he worked at the Round Table. Because if Pie in the Sky was too far away for us, where we were at, we'd go to Round Table. And he would, outside of work, he would wear a cape in public.
Yeah.
And he was all into D&D stuff. And he was just kind of like, why do you guys always come here? This pizza sucks. He would always just kind of give you, like, a little bit of sass.
Yeah, he just gave you, like, that attitude of, like, I talk in a monotone and you guys are stupid.
He just had, like, this, I fucking hate my life. And the only thing that brings me joy is D&D and magic. And he was actually, I wasn't friends with him, but I had a friend who was friends with him. I remember actually going to his house one time. And I've never been more fucking bored in my life as these guys played some weird, fucking, dragging on, boring, self-indulgent game of D&D. And I was like, I gotta get the fuck out of here.
Exactly. So in his card, it's the Harry Potter kid, and a.k.a. I changed his name kind of to the Warlock Child. I just thought, like, in future references, you might not be able to use that Harry Potter name, you know, down the line. You just never know. But he's the cynical, he hates everything nerd. He hadn't said, sub to my video stream where I break down what you love and tell you why it actually sucks. He just reminds me of, like, I utilize him as that kind of person who puts together just those people that just shit on everything for no real reason other than just to be a douche. And then we got Afro Fuck here, and it's like, kind of call him the hipster art school nerd. Girls never trust his acoustic guitar, because this would be the creepy guy that you would see sitting there playing, like, you know, a couple of, like, soft, almost even, like, Under
Mumford
the Bridge,
and
Mumford and Sons,
yeah.
You know, and just trying to almost, like, reel them in, like, in the Charles Manson way, but, like, you know, even creepier, maybe. I don't know if you can be creepier than that, but...
I like what you did with Monster Battles card, like, how his card looks like it was, like, folded up and jammed into his back pocket.
Yeah, it's got, like, stains on it and bends and creases and so on in there. And then Monster Battle is, he's the bully nerd. If he loses in a game, he hits in real life, you know. And I just remember there was those kind of people. Now, I also kind of hate to say it, but it's almost like my mom, like, taught in special ed when I was a kid. So, like, sometimes you'd go over, like, those special ed houses and it'd be like, oh, cool, they got a Super Nintendo, so you're, like, going to play with it. But... you would get one of those guys there who'd just be like, every time he would lose, he'd punch you as hard as fucking possible in there. So you're like, oh, I guess you could win next time, and so on.
I lost the Connect Four!
So I just always think of those people that get, like, real violent, like, whenever, like, there, like, they lose and so on. I'm not saying that Monster Battle here is special ed, but I just kind of picture him as kind of like the big galoof, or goof kind of, like, nerd and whatnot. The guy who's dirty and doesn't really shower. And just...
like
he almost, like... He's
he
like
almost could not be a nerd if his interests were different. Because one of those guys where they had that bully mentality and that bully attitude. They just happen to like nerdy shit. Mm-hmm. And that nerdy shit kept them from being with the popular kids. Because I remember there were kids like that in middle school who would... They loved Pokemon. They loved, like, Dragon Ball Z. But they also liked beating up smaller people.
Yeah, and so, shoving them in trash cans and things like that.
Yeah, and, like, so it's one of those things, well, dude, you're losing friends here because you're the guy... You could be hanging out with us... But you're not going to get hanging out with those popular kids the way you are right now. I'm going to tell you that right now.
And there's probably the kind of person who would actually have like that kind of, would be kind of big and strong and kind of brooding, mm-hmm. but he'd probably be kind of loppy. So he wouldn't really be, he'd be that person who would like, they would try to get him on the football team or the baseball team or something like that, but they'd realize, well, he's actually not very athletic. He kind of has like brute strength and so on, but
you
like.
Put him up there as a wall, maybe.
Yeah, but he's just not really all like there, like. You know, athletic-wise and so on like that.
And to be fair, there was a guy you guys nicknamed Monster Battle, but he wasn't all that bad, but
no.
That's just a funny name. And it's almost more taking that name and putting it on, like, because there's a nerdy guy, he wasn't that bad.
Actually a real nerd. The actual Monster Battle in real life. The only reason he kind of had that name is because we were all sitting around in class one day playing Dragon Ball Z, Budokai 2 or 3 and something like that, and there was this battle raging on and so on, and it was getting intense, and you know, to the point where it's just like back and forth and doing all the specials and so on. He goes, "That's a monster battle!" And Cisco just looks at him and goes, "You're a monster battle!" Just one of those real kind of dumb, retarded high school things, but the name I felt like always kind of worked. It was like, yeah, that makes sense.
And then there's the most hated, probably second most hated, I don't know, kind of go either way, the Rooster.
The Rooster, Mr. Know-It-All Nerd, you are never right since he knows everything. And I just feel like these...
I like how you draw him like cross... His eyes are always looking different directions.
Yeah.
He has like a prepubescent mustache kind of coming in, but still kind of like a full goatee landing strip.
Yeah, like the just kind of feel picture of drawing him kind of like a rooster.
And he has kind of like the 90s like man bangs haircut, but it's not really organized right, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of slicked back sort of even. And he's even got like his lip even kind of hangs over like sort of so it looks like a rooster's beak and whatnot. And I just always picture that. I mean, like, this is like if in like pop culture, the easiest way to describe like who like a rooster kid would be like, it's Sheldon Cooper. That Sheldon Cooper is like the fucking popular version of like that, where you just get these kind of like, here's just this. I mean, and people for some reason really love him, of course, but like it is kind of like
if you really met Sheldon, though.
Yeah, if you meet those people in real life, like those people are always just really obnoxious. They always want to tell you like you don't know anything. I fucking know everything. Who you think about this and so on. And
this is a guy who he hated. Dead or alive, he was like, okay, well, in Dead or Alive 2, if you kick someone off a ledge, they fly 200 feet down, land, and then get back up and fight. Like, yeah, it's a fucking video game.
Yeah, they're the
people... And this guy liked video games, so it's like, why the fuck do you not like this?
But yeah, there are people that they question that kind of stuff. That's why I always say in Big Bang, I'm like, literally, like, Sheldon Cooper, I do not believe he would ever like comic books, because people like that... All like they would question everything about it being unrealistic. So I know he would not actually be in that if that real character was alive.
Yeah,
because that's how those people are. Like for some reason, if anything, they're like the people that see like a movie and if something's slightly off, it's like, oh, it's blasphemy. This is terrible. It's like they don't know anything about physics. They don't know anything about this. You know, if they would have done just a little bit of research, if they would have had me there on the set, you know, yeah.
And there's like he's kind of a composite of two people like that we know. And
yeah,
that we knew.
I mean, granted, yeah, all these characters are all like a mixture of multiple. I just kind of take like those multiple kind of things you see. Where you're like, God, these fucking assholes.
But there's, like, one guy, like, would always, like, if you'd be talking about something, you weren't even talking to him, he'd butt in and start talking shit on the thing you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe have the same kind of, like, God, you don't know what Quentin Tarantino's overrated. Kill Bill is so unrealistic. Ah, you know?
Yeah, one of those people that, like, doesn't matter what the conversation is, they're always going to argue with it. Like, there's no winning, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, as we continue on with the story here, we got Cisco. He's kind of, like, just waving in the background, like, hello, you got some customers here. And they just are like,
flarp. Well, I like that what you have there. It looks like they have their own language, but you see a picture of the pizza boys in the center. So it's like, it's their own language, but they're acknowledging the pizza boys. Like, it's kind of like...
Well, I feel like it's almost like they're so into, like, their own thing. Like, because, like, they could kind of care less that we're sort of standing there. You know what I mean?
But it's, like, more like... Oh, okay. I took it as, like, they're talking shit in their own, like, nerd language almost. Kind of like. But then, like, it's showing a picture of the Pizza Boys in there in a way of, like... Oh, they don't even like they're talking shit on them in their own like geek work. Like,
I guess it could almost even be like that. I kind of had it where it's like, because you just see our heads, so it's almost like they like it's like sort of like we're there, but they really just don't give a flying fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
And as we kind of go on to the next page, Kyle's kind of he's all concerned now about Audrey,
and he's like, "And where's Audrey? You better have not locked her in a castle somewhere." And then, like, Afro fuck. And you get a much bit closer picture of him right here with this fucking nerdy, anime nerd, twirly glasses. Like, a castle meaning my basement?
And I just love, because then that's like, they all go to do, like, a high five. But, like, it's the high five flub out. And they all sort of just, like, miss. Like, one of them slaps, you know, Afro fuck across the face. Like, it slides. Like, it's almost like they were trying to do something cool and it just did not pan out.
Kyle's like, why I ought to?
I like how he gets all, like, 1920s on here. Like, oh, let me at him! Let me at him!
Cisco's pulling him back.
He's like, I think we had enough fights for one night. And then Afrofuck chimes in.
And he has the finger up, like, kind of like, you should have seen these freaks earlier. They had a whole audience kicking their pitiful asses.
And that just shows a foreshot of each one of the derpy boys just laughing hardcore. It's just like, ha 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 ha, squawk!
Like, it's the rooster. I like how the rooster's always wearing his backpack. He never takes the backpack off.
He never takes the backpack. I just remember there was a kid that used to fucking always wear a backpack, like, in volleyball. And I was just like, what the fuck is he wearing a backpack while playing a game? Like, come on. But,
So Kyle's still like, let me out of my
Yeah, Kyle's out. Almost, like, ready to fucking fight. Now, see, it's like almost like before, like, at the movie theater, Kyle was just having fun. Now things are getting fucking serious. You're messing with food.
Pizza.
Yeah.
My character's like, now it's time. Think of the pizza.
And then Kyle just sort of turns and kind of massages his ears, Bad Boys 2 style. Woosah. And then the Harry Potter kid or warlock child comes in. He's like, but if you must know, Audrey called in sick. Oh, yeah, we're giving a different voice. But if you must know, Audrey called in sick. And then Monster bows. Well, because of her, period.
Leaving us in charge for the night.
Cisco goes, oh, God, you all work here now? And then the rooster's just like, technically, it's Warlock's job, but we are all here to keep the riffraff like you away.
Dude, the Derpy Boys are bringing a bad name to this place. Kyle looks so intense.
I'm trying to almost, like, calm down and be like, okay.
I forgot this one.
And then fucking the rooster just kind of looks over like, well, it's Dungeon Lads, but I wouldn't expect peons like you to quite comprehend that title.
Dungeon Lads, which can sound like
so. But I also like that he just is talking mad shit at the same time, too. It's almost like, you know what I mean? Like, because a lot of times, like, the beast person, like, you know, if it was like a movie, be like, if there was like the bigger guy kind of like yelling at him and stuff, the nerdy guy would not be like just talking shit and no remorse. But here it's just like, it's almost like this guy, he's just the guy's almost the rooster's the bully to Kyle.
Which Kyle just hates. Like, this scientifically, this is impossible. How's this happening?
Yeah, one of those ones. And then, well, my character Vince is like, you know what? Maybe we don't want your pizza anyways. Come on, guys. Let's take our business somewhere else. And as we're kind of walking out, the rooster just kind of looks, run along now! The circus is waiting!
Kyle's like, fucking derps!
I like how it's almost like he can't really make out, like, a right, like, saying. It's just like, fucking derps!
Kyle's more madder than anybody. I can't believe we let the Derpy Boys win! My character's like, they have a knack for making anything they touch seem uncool.
And as we're kind of driving away here, Cisco's all like, exactly what kept me away from Xbox in high school. And then Vince says, we just need a pizza, and if you can't have the best, there's always the rest.
Well, let's try pizza machines, my character says. And like, Kyle's just angry, like the pain, like the anger is hurting him, like, fucking Harry Potter kid.
And then your character goes,
he's going by Warlock Child now.
And Cisco's more like the Warcock Child. And Kyle's just fist angry.
He will always be that Potter kid I hate. It's funny because you never see Kyle like that angry. That's what I think is funny about it. Kyle's always kind of like, whatever, man. But this one, he is just
so fucking angry. And Cisco just goes, hey, you can go Voldemort on him later.
Well, the only other time I think we've seen Kyle actually angry, really, is when, like, the issue where Cisco is taking, like, the veteran hats and the firefighter hats, and the thought process, like, wait, he's getting in the way of me getting free pancakes. And, like, that, yeah. That's the one thing to make him angry. Like, if you get in the way, food is the thing that pisses up. If you get in the way of Kyle's food, that's what gets him mad.
Mm-hmm. So we pull into town here, and we go to kind of pizza
what's,
machine.
What's meant to be a pizza factory in
2020. Yeah, exactly. I always feel like I'm like, if the business is still around, I won't use its actual name just in case. You never know how those rights things can be.
Pizza and beer will make it all better, Kyle.
And we got pretty much, it looks like nobody's really here. It's kind of later at night and so on. You got this kind of good old boy walking back to his kind of muddy-covered Toyota truck. I give it the Yoda thing because that's what sometimes people like to do is to change it around.
It's called Yoda.
And then, as we're kind of getting out of the vehicles and so on, this kind of good old boy looks down at your character and goes, "Poo calves!" Gets in his truck, drives off, and you're just kind of looking down, questioning, "Huh?
Poo calves? Like, what's that guy talking about?" And Kyle says, "Maybe it's the mud you got on your pants from getting out of the car. Like, if it's not one thing, it's another thing tonight. Poo calves, so fucking weird."
And then my character looks like, "No." Close-up shot. It can't be!
It's like anime, like, you know, someone, like, you know, like the attack missed or something like that.
Yeah. And then as we kind of come up to a pizza machine, there's a sign there that just says, "Closed until further notice." And my character's all, "Why? Of all times, why have you forsaken us?" And Cisco almost looks down in a calming way and just says, "Let's go. There's nothing here for us now."
Is that meant to be like Obi-Wan in Star Wars?
I guess it is kind of like
that. Nothing like, "There's nothing here for you now, Luke."
Yeah, your aunt and uncle are dead. And then almost like in that notion, Vince stands up and he's all, "Quickly, Square Tail Pizza will surely be open. It has to be." And we race down the hill going to find out the next place. And as we get down to Square Table Pizza, once again, it's closed. And my character shouts out, "No, not you. Not again. Not you too." And Cisco goes, "Closed early for power outage, eh? Just no matter what, we can't seem to get what we're going for."
Then you get, thwomped with, like, a snowball. You turn around. It's just Stacy driving by.
And I'm like, she just points and laughs and keeps going and so on. It's just like, that's just kind of like all it is. And it's like, oh.
And just the context that she even know probably that you were there. Maybe she was following us, maybe she wasn't. But the fact is she was within her car driving. She had a snowball at the ready.
Yeah.
It's that concept.
I just feel like the thing is like, hey, there's that guy over there. I'm going to chuck a fucking snowball.
Like if she opened up her, like, you know, her glove box, she had an ice pack in there with like a couple snowballs sitting on it ready to go.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I sort of kind of looked at it.
She also seems like the person that, like, if she went paintballing, she would, like, won't be one of those people leaving the paintballs in the freezer.
Yeah, exactly. Just for more pain.
Yeah.
But I'm brushing the snow off, and you say,
"I know it's not the same, but we could always get take and bake."
We zoom farther down the hill and so on, and as we get here, there's a big old space for lease sign.
I guess it shows how long it's been since we were last here.
"Just a joyous slice of pizza. It's all I ask for." And Kyle says,
"It's just like, too bad Audrey called him."
Well, yeah, one
more. "Oh, wait, oh, it's all we asked for." And somebody says, "Oh, it looks like, too bad Audrey called him." That's when your character says.
And that's when I look up excited once more again. "That's it, old boy! Dunny, quickly now! To Audrey's place!" And we zoom back up the hill.
If this was a cartoon, the car thing
would totally have the Batman.
Just going by like that.
And then I'm knocking on the door like a madman. "Knock, knock, 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 knock." And then we got Alicia here. She answers it.
I like how you made her look is like she's getting ready to go to like a Christian baby shower. Like a frilly dress and all kind
of. I actually picture that as almost like that's actually her, like her pajamas. Like I draw.
Oh,
her,
it's a nightie. Oh, it makes sense.
I draw her like, and this sounds weird, but like I like to draw her like almost like all her clothes feel like they're all kind of like old fashioned, like almost like from like the '50s in a
that
sense.
Makes sense. Yeah,
you know, '40s, '50s kind of era. Like so, everything she has just seems a little bit older. You know, but as I'm knocking on the door, I'm like, "Audrey, we need to speak to Audrey."
Audrey is quite sick at the moment.
"No time!" And I kind of burst in and, you know, push the door open and so on. And like, "The Derby Boys have taken over Pie in the Sky!" And Audrey's sitting there all kind of sick and so on. "What? Who are the Derby Boys?" And I'm like, "That moron warlock child you work with and his goons." And Audrey kind of coughs. "Oh." And I'm just like almost like not really concerning for her health and well-being, but it's like there's like more matters at stake. We just need a pizza. Well, we just need a way past them to get a pizza. And she's looking up all just like sick and totally out of it, just hair a mess and whatnot, and goes, you know, there's places beyond just pie in the sky. Cutting her off, negative on those options. And she goes, bullocks, well, the air vent in the back is missing a few screws. I guess you could climb through there and avoid them. And then back to me being kind of more excited, being like, Audrey, you are a lifesaver. Get well soon, damn it. Sorry for busting in.
I like how she's like, I think it's time for you to go. She looks all serious, trying to pull you away.
Yeah, Alicia's just like, okay, that's enough of this. And we're like, we won't return until we have pizza. Setting us up for the pizza impossible. We boost the speed even farther up the hill, you know, getting farther into the snow region. And then Vince says, from observing all the Ethan Hunt, James Bond, Solid Snake, and even Sam Fisher moments.
Sly Cooper 2, says Kyle.
Yeah, sure. But what I'm saying is, we know what we need to do.
That's me with a binocular saying, I got a visual. Looks like they're taking a break from the game.
Sisko goes, gear check, good. And then this starts scanning everything.
You see Warlock Child at the register. He's like, Warlock Child is managing the register. I see the rooster pacing, probably contemplating his next tactic. Monster Battle is entering the restroom, avoid at all costs. Then you guys kind of see like this empty restaurant.
And I'm like, do you have a visual on Afrofuck?
Negative, scanning.
He's got to be somewhere.
The game lasts long into the night. I'm checking the arcade machines, and it's like, Durr! Standing there at the window,
just looking out.
He just looks so fucking scary, like that jump scare moment. Like, ah, there he is, creeping as usual.
Can he see us?
Not in this darkness. Time to move out. Just the idea, he's smiling, staring into the darkness with that creepy
just creeping. And then, so me and Kyle are kind of sneaking in, going on crouch position, and I say to you, Dunny, how's the lookout? Speaking over the intercom.
You're clear to enter.
Sisko, have a distraction ready in our command.
With the Groucho Marx sunglasses.
Yeah, that's like kind of picture of like Sisko. It's almost like he sort of had like a bag full of just like, because you know, back in the day, we had all like the movie props, so I felt like we just had random ass disguises and so on that you could kind of make out of it. So Sisko's going, Roger, Roger, got the old man character at your disposal. You know, almost like he's using this opportunity to practice his acting chops.
And he's unhinging the, Kyle's unhinging the screen to the vent and crawling in. You won't get in there.
Yeah, and we start crawling through. Going to the next page. Kyle starts just singing to himself, making up a Weird Al-like song.
Crawling my way downtown, dragging nuts, panels pass, we're pizza bound.
And then I'm all, ugh, what's that terrible smell?
I'm on the radio, look away, repeat, look away!
And then Vince looks down and goes, too late, I already looked down, and Monster Battle has officially destroyed the restroom.
Move along!
Kind of, almost like gonna throw up, but carry on. And then Kyle comes up to the vent and looks down.
Oh shit, he's jerking off too!
And then you say,
advance, damn it! Not Miss fucking Light 1978. And I was like, she's probably seen worse, she'll recover.
And then we finally get to the vent that leads down to the kitchen, and you say over the intercom,
okay, you should be right over the kitchen now.
And then Vince goes, I see the opening, preparing to dive.
It cuts to you guys preparing the equipment, Kyle's pulling out the rope, you're strapping the harness, hacking the harness in, Giles putting on the gloves, groovy, little like, what I'm assuming is the Evil Dead reference.
Yeah, because I just always feel like those scenes were, like, you know, if this was a movie, it would all zoom in or pull out on each one of these things.
My character on the walkie-talkie with binoculars looking. Derpy boys are back to their game. You're all clear to go.
And then the rooster, you can see from Sisko's vantage point, he's out in the bushes looking at the front of the building. And the rooster's like at full volume, just being like, Soul Calibur is nothing but a button smasher! What? Only an idiot would not see that! And Sisko kind of goes into the walkie-talkie. Golden on my end, too. They got an argument that will last a good while.
Your character just...
He's kind of coming down and stuff, and he's like, fucking rooster.
Just like, fucking... Because that's the thing, you just overhear, like, you want to say something, but you can't.
Yeah, just like, just very light. Fucking... Just like, they can hear the conversation kind of in the background. Kyle's lowering me down. I'm coming down to the kitchen here. And then once I kind of get right down to the prep table, the eagle has landed. And I start rolling the pizza dough, tossing it, spreading the sauce, sprinkling the cheese, topping the pizza up.
I'll say, even though it's all black and white, this panel, this sequence really makes you want pizza.
I know. It's one of those ones, like, this part, too, is, like, got to the point, remember when I was, like, inking, it's like, dude, I didn't realize how many times I had to draw pizza over and over and over and over again.
Well, you find a way to make it look really good, even though it's black and white, you know?
Yeah, it gives it some kind of details there and so on. And so Vince is like, okay, the pizza's ready to bake.
Hold up, Monster Battle is leaving the game, my character says, looking through the binoculars. He's back to the restroom. Carry on.
And then, slow and steady now, Vince kind of leans over, putting the pizza towards the oven. Kyle's holding on.
There's like fart noises coming down the vent.
There's like smoke coming up.
Oh god, the apple fritters have returned!
Kyle's like holding his breath. And he's almost like shaking, and I'm like kind of down there. Kyle, you all right? Kyle can't speak whatsoever. I'm saying over the loudspeaker, or over the headset, Kyle! And then it slips, and he lets go of the rope. And Vince drifts down, pizza flying up in the air. We cut to the next page, and right at the very bottom, as I get close to the floor, catches it.
There's like Ethan Hunt, like catching like the sweat drop.
Yeah, the sweat. But instead, the pizza and stuff. And Kyle's got a hold of it, but he's only got it with one hand because he's got to pinch his nose.
Somebody on the radio, like, Cisco, we need to turn the vent on. Cisco, we need you to turn the vent van on fast. The vent fan on fast. That's a hard thing to say. Let me get one more in there. Cisco, we need you to turn the vent fan on fast. There's some of those things you could read, no problem, but saying out loud.
Yeah, when you say it out loud.
It's like your tongue is doing gymnastics. Create the distraction.
And then Cisco kind of busts in there, kind of almost giving like old-timey old man, hey there, sonny, can I get a mug of your finest lager?
He would be doing Roger Dangerfield.
Yeah, Rodney Dangerfield. Well, that's why I literally just said, like, I'm like, he's going to be kind of the old man costume. It's going to be a mix between Groucho Marx and Rodney Dangerfield from Caddyshack.
No respect.
And then, you know, Warlock Child gets up. He's like, ugh, a customer. Hold on a second. Kyle's holding his nose. The smell is getting real intense and so on. I got the pizza. I'm down on the floor. You're running in at full speed. Like super, super run. And then Cisco in the old man costume's all like, hey, you guys playing cards? Boy, back in my day, I was the ultimate guru of card masters.
Nice story, Grunt. Nice story. I don't remember the voice I gave. I'm just a nerd voice. Nice story, Grandpa, says Afrofuck.
And then Cisco kind of, he grabs some cards up from the table. He's like, kids today, no respect, I tell you. Let me show you how it's done. And then the rooster just starts to freak out. Like, wow, are you crazy? You're destroying the setup. But this gives your character, Dunny, a nice chance to sneak into the background.
My character runs in. It's still slipping. I slide in the back when they're not looking. I turn on the fan and run the fuck back out.
Yeah, you flip the fan and whatnot.
I don't run out yet. Later, I do.
And then the fan kicks on and pulls out all the bad air, giving Kyle, you know, free rein of both hands, and he heaves and pulls me on up. I get to the point where it's like, the pizza is in, putting in the oven. Reel me on up now, Kyle. And then Kyle just pulls real hard again and just sends me flying up, and I just smack my head and back, like, right on, like, the entrance to, like, the panels up there and so on, creating a noise, and the rooster turns and goes, wow, what was that noise?
It's happens to be, like, a Metal Gear Solid, like, when you just have, like, when you, like, how you knock on something. What was that noise?
Yeah, that's pretty much what I almost kind of picture. And then Cisco's just kind of, like, talking smack in the old man voice. Maybe you guys got rats in here. It sure smells like that kind of home. And then you got Warlock Child. I think it's time you left, old timer. And Kyle, he pulls Vince up into the air duct and whatnot, giving him the thumbs up like, we're all good. And then I go, setting my watch. Click. Get the timer going. Cisco's getting thrown out of the establishment here. He's still kind of in character. You're throwing out a paying customer? Why, of all the nerve? You'll be hearing from my lawyers! And then Warlock Child comes in again and goes, whatever, Cisco. Your disguise is pretty lame.
He has like that little like anime line spark thing.
Yeah, like, oh god, he knows. And then I just like how the rooster's just in full laughter, like holding it like his like chest and everything. Like, squad! No pizza for you!
Down to 5:39, being my character's still hiding behind the register.
Well, I gave it almost like a 24 thing where, you know, it does like the dink, tink.
Oh, you even gave it the dink, even I just
tink.
I'm now realizing you even made it the watch from GoldenEye.
Yeah, I made it the watch from GoldenEye. See, I kind of gave it like all that stuff, but then it's like, well, I use like 24, because that's like the other thing that's kind of like the other spy thing that's kind of like forgotten. But it always had that where like when this, it would start up and you'd get like the different panels. That's how, like, it's in a comic book, so it's not the same way, but that's how I pictured if it was like in an animation or something.
And then my character's still hiding behind the register, and then like Afro, I think then like Afro Fuck is getting punched by Monster Battle.
So you cheated. And then after kind of like time has kind of gone by, Rooster's all like, "Wah! If nothing's out there, we do have a pressing game to finish." And then fucking Warlock Child returns. He's like, "This place is old and dumb. I hope it burns to the ground." And in the background there, you can see you're jumping out the window, escaping. And so on.
Just Kyle's Scott Pilgrim, yeah.
Yeah, Kyle's just looking down, just so angry, like, "Don't you fucking talk about my pizza place like this. Don't you ever fucking say those words." You know, and then the watch goes off.
And then you do the Ethan Hunt thing, zooming down to grab the pizza, but then once you get the pizza in there, Kyle pulls it too hard.
Yeah, so it pulls it out, boxes it, grabs it, it's like, ready to go. Kyle gives it the old, like, super pull, and it's like, "No, wait, not yet!" And it's like the pizza falls and slips and twists, box opens up, pizza slides out. As I'm kind of going up, reaching the hand out, as the pizza's falling away, there's no way to grab it. And it, not only does it fall on the ground, it falls on the ground, like, top down. So it just splats and goes everywhere. I remember one time, sadly, I remember there was somebody we were with. I think we were, like, even in, like, San Francisco way back in the day and so on like that. And he literally dropped his pizza and it fell, like, you know, upside down. So it's, like, not even, like, the nice fall onto a ground where it's, like, okay, at least you can just dust the bottom off. No, cheese, toppings, pepperoni, and everything just down.
You could even, like, yeah, because if it lands on, if the glasses lands crust down, you could at least still probably throw it back in the oven for just a minute to kill off the bacteria or whatever.
Well, I mean, if you picked it up quick enough, you wouldn't have bacteria on it anyways.
Well, whatever, whatever.
But, like, you know what I mean? Like, still, you could kind of brush off the bottom and stuff. But it's, like, well, it's like, well, that was the only, like, money I had, so he had to eat it.
Oh.
So it's kind of like, you know, it's just that time period. But as the pizza in the story hits the ground, splats and goes everywhere, the Derpy Boys all turn and look in almost like a Metal Gear Solid fashion.
Jenna!
Yeah. And then me and Kyle are escaping out the air duct. It's like, abort! Mission failure! Abort! And then some time later, we're all sitting out kind of in the park. The snow, it's the snow's coming down a little bit more. But, like, I feel like it's that kind where it's like it snows, but it's not really, like, super sticking a whole lot. Just kind of, it's like sort of snow in the background.
Yeah.
And your character says, or I guess what this is, we're sitting on, like, we're at, like, a, almost like a park, and kind of sitting on the swings, Kyle's sitting on the slide, Cisco's kind of standing there against them, and, like, almost that, like, well, what do we do fucking now? Like, it's like, almost that sad moment. It's like, let's go back to the only thing we know that's right.
Yeah.
And your character says,
you know what I was thinking? Why didn't we just land on the pizza, on the kitchen floor to put the pizza back all together?
That's almost like convoluted sounding.
Why didn't we just land on the kitchen floor to put the pizza all together?
And my character Vince looks up and goes, and lose all the adventure aspects? Sisko's looking down kind of sad and stuff. He's like, at least we might still have had a pizza.
Kyle like looks the saddest of all.
Yeah. And then as the snow is coming down almost, Stacy drives up in, like, her Bronco and whatnot and just kind of looks out at us in, like, a shameful sort of way. Are you hanging out at a child's playground at night?
Your character flinches. Like, you, like, draw your character different than you have other points of this right here.
Just like, like almost, like, frightened by it. And then you see that, no, it's not only Stacy. Alicia's there as well, too.
Did you get your pizza?
And then Kyle just looks down. He's like, no. Or you do say this.
No, we have only brought great shame. And there's like a picture of like, there's like a zoom in of him thinking and just thinking about like, he's like holding like a withered, like the equivalent to a dead pizza with anime tears spraying out of his eyes.
Yeah. And then Melanie opens up the back window and so on and looks out and says,
I know it's not, I mean, I know it's not the same, but we brought some frozen pizza if you care to indulge.
And Sisko just looks over, just all super excited and so on, like, that's the most glorious thing I've heard all night! And Stacy kind of looks almost in like an evil, like, way of almost being like, well, follow us back to our place, if you dare. And then just sort of laughs as she drives off. And as we're kind of all leaving, we're kind of going towards the car, and I'm saying, like, I'll take that chance. Thor can only shine down on us now. And Kyle slides down the slide.
Pizza time! Whee!
Boom, the end.
Then we have the afterwards, the special features thing you got right here.
Yeah.
Where we kind of cover some of the stuff we just said. And then we have the...
And then we got Ryan's cover. Whoops, I went too far.
Then we have the cover I made for this, which is like more Metal Gear Solid inspired. It's Spencer's character and Kyle's character. Even though they're in the same outfits, more or less, kind of a little bit more Metal Gear Solid out, just with, like, the black shadow underneath the eyes. All both have, like headbands, and I know we didn't use them, but it would feel weird. I think you guys needed guns just for Metal Gear Solid stuff, so I gave them, like off-brand Nerf guns.
Mm-hmm.
And you see what looks like a Genome soldier walking through the snow with a pizza.
Carrying a pizza, and he's got a gun, too.
And it says, and it just says, like, in Metal Gear Solid font, says, Pizza Boys, and above, where it would say... Tactical espionage action. It says tactical pizza extraction.
So. Yeah. No, I love that cover. I think that's totally awesome and so on. I feel like really actually does sum it up, too. But yeah, that's the big old story right there of Pizza Boys 12. Left the running audio commentary and all that good stuff. But yeah, you can find that. It's up on Amazon right now. It's on Kindle. It's on Kindle Unlimited. As time goes on, it'll be up on Comixology as well. That always takes at least a good... month two or so for them to kind of get that all put together, but support the good indie comics cause and go out and pick up a copy on Amazon. That'd be totally awesome. Leave a review, give a share, you know what I mean? Check out some of the other Pizza Boys ones if, hey, maybe you haven't started off on your Pizza Boys journey yet, but yeah, this one was one of those kind of fun ones. This book kind of goes on a little bit longer than, like, because it's almost like three different stories in one, but I felt like they all kind of meshed together well.
They did click in. I mean, every so often you'll watch like an adult cartoon like Simpsons or even like Family Guy, and I always feel like the beginning has very little to do with the opening. There's always like the beginning, mm-hmm. and it kind of kicks off. It's like, what the fuck do they have to do? Just some weird little thing happens. It kicks off, make them think about this, but I think this one actually, there is like more of a follow-through line with it.
Yeah, well, because realistically... this was almost like, you know, in like the notepad, it was almost like there was three different story ideas. I'm like, well, shit, they can almost like interlock together. It's like you go see a movie and then it's like, shit, that all went to hell. Let's go get a pizza. And then there was that story that we even had that one time where it's like we went out searching for pizza one time. I was like, dude, why are they all fucking closed at once? You know what I mean? Like, what is going on today?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you have that kind of moment and then you get to like, you know, showing the Derpy Boys and so on. This one almost kind of gives like a taste of the Derpy Boys. You know, it's that one that they almost could use a full-on just issue that just gives them, like, even more kind of backstory and so on. But at the same time, I think this did get across pretty well, like, who they are and kind of, a taste of what's going on with them. And I like almost, like, setting them up like they are kind of almost, like, bullies. You know, you'd almost say, like, they're rivals or, like,
they're, like, the Legion of Doom of the Pizza Boys continuity.
Yeah. But I like how, like, they almost just more talk, like, mad shit on, like, our characters and sort of get away with it than, like, the other way around where you think these people would be bullied almost in a sense. But it's no. It's like, that's not how these kind of characters work. But yeah, beyond all that fun stuff, check out Pizza Boys, go to Amazon, go to oldmanoinks.com where you'll find more Pizza Boys information, old animations, other podcasts, and all that good fun stuff. I'm Spencer Scott Holmes.
And I'm Ryan Dunnigan.
And we'll see you some other time.
Later, folks.